الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فعن عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله تعالى عنه أنه قال اعتزل ما يؤذيك وعليك بالخليل الصالح وقل ما تجده وشاور في أمرك الذين يخافون الله أو كما قال رضي الله تعالى عنه رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته سيدنا عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله تعالى عنه was a very great Sahabi, a very great companion of our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. He is the second Khalif. The first Khalif was Sayyiduna Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. The second Khalif was Sayyiduna Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. The third Khalif was Sayyiduna Usman radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And the fourth Khalif was Sayyiduna Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, the cousin of our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu used to say, إِنَّ السَّكِينَةَ تَنْتِقُ عَلَى لِسَانِ عُمَرِ. Sakina, sukoon, contentment speaks on the tongue of Umar. The meaning of this statement is that whenever Umar radiallahu anhu speaks, and when he guides, the people who is listening to his advice, to his counsel, he will find contentment in his heart. After listening to Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu's khutbah, or after listening to Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu's verdict, or upon seeking guidance in dini matters and worldly matters from Umar radiyallahu anhu, when the guidance was given, a person would not find any hesitation in his heart in accepting what Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu has said. He would not find any doubt in the guidance given to him. in the counsel given to him, in the advice given to him, he would feel 100% content. So Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, for this reason, used to say that contentment speaks on the tongue of Umar. That means whenever Umar radiyallahu anhu says something, the result of that statement will be contentment of heart. A person will be 100% satisfied on the verdict given by Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, on the advice given by Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And the reason for that is, our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in a statement, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى جَعَلَ الْحَقَّ عَلَى لِسَانِ أُمَرَ وَقَلْبِهِ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put haq and truth on the tongue of Umar and in the heart of Umar. Whenever a person writes or says something, that something first comes in the heart. And from the heart it goes to the mind. And from the mind it either comes on the paper or it comes on the tongue. So if haq comes in the heart, if there is haq in the heart, then haq will come in the mind. And when haq comes in the mind, haq will come on the paper or haq will come in the speech. And if there is batil and falsehood in the heart, then batil and falsehood will come to the mind, and from the mind, batil and falsehood will come on the paper, or batil and falsehood will emanate from the tongue. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as a result of wahy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is saying that indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed haq in the heart of Umar, and as a result Allah has placed haq on the tongue of Umar. There are many instances recorded in the ahadith and in the books of tafasir, where Umar radiallahu anhu came in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with a proposal. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam liked the proposal. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Oh Umar, it's a very good idea, I also like it. But my sharia is not made by me, this sharia, this deen, the injunctions of deen, the halal and haram, the permissible, impermissible, the farz, wajib, mustahabbat, they are not made by me. They are made by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And without instruction from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I cannot make this proposal part of deen." And soon, Jibreel alayhi salatu was salam would descend with revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala supporting the proposal of Umar radiallahu anhu. Once Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam invited Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, because he was one of the scribes. There were certain sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in who were known as the Kuttabul Wahy, the scribes of Wahy. They were appointed by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to write down the revelation. Whenever Jibreel alayhi salatu was salam came with the revelation and he recited the revelation to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was the miracle of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that instantly Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would have memorized what he had heard from Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam, and he would never forget until he departed from this world. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made this promise. لَا تُحَرِّكْ بِهِ لِسَانَكَ لِتَعْجَلَ بِهِ إِنَّ عَلَيْنَا جَمْعَهُ وَقُرْآنَهُ. Oh my beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is our responsibility to gather the words of wahy into your heart. So to record the words of wahy, revelation in your heart, it is our responsibility. So do not move your lips and your tongue excessively in order to memorize what you are hearing from Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. Because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam understood his responsibility of conveying whatever was revealed to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had commanded him, Ya ayyuhar rasul, O rasul, بلغ ما انزل اليك من ربك. Convey whatever is revealed to you from your Rabb. بلغ ما انزل اليك من ربك. Convey all that which is revealed to you from your Rabb. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew his responsibility. So whenever Jibreel alayhi salatu was salam would come with revelation, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would do two things at the same time. He would very carefully listen to Jibreel alayhi salatu was salam reciting the words of the Quran, reciting the wahy, the revelation. And at the same time, he would try to memorize it. So for example, if Jibreel alayhi salatu was salam recited اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق, he would listen very carefully to Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam reciting اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق, and thereafter he would do two things. He would begin to memorize اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق, اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق, اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق, because it is a well known fact. Even a child knows that when you want to memorize something, you repeat the words that you desire to memorize. So he would begin to repeat the words. So his lips would move and his tongue would move silently. And at the same time, he is paying attention to what Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam is reciting. And it is very difficult to focus in two angles at the same time. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would experience difficulty and inconvenience. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed these verses. لا تحرك به لسانك لتعجل به. Do not move your tongue, and with the tongue do not move your lips. Do not move your tongue. It is the tongue that a person moves when he is memorizing, because it is the tongue through which he expresses the words. But whenever you move the tongue, the lips will move also. So do not move your tongue. لَا تُحَرِّكْ بِهِ لِسَانَكَ لِتَعْجَلَ بِهِ, so that you may learn it very quickly. Don't do that. But if I don't do that, how will I memorize it? So Allah says that it is not your responsibility. Your responsibility is only to become silent and pay attention and listen very, very carefully with the intention of memorizing it. That is your responsibility. The rest is my responsibility. Do not move your tongue. Do not excessively move your tongue, so that you quickly memorize what is being recited to you. Inna alayna jama'ahu. It is our responsibility, it is upon us to gather together the words that are being recited to you in your heart. And thereafter, wa qur'ana, it is our responsibility to put those words on your tongue. So it is our responsibility to make you recite it. So it is our responsibility to make you memorize it, and thereafter it is our responsibility to make you recite it correctly. So if it is our responsibility, what should you be doing? فَإِذَا قَرَأْنَاهُ فَاتَّبِعْ قُرْآنَ. So when we recite to you through the medium of Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, فَاتَّبِعْ قُرْآنَ, just follow his recitation. Just simply listen carefully and follow his recitation. It will be our responsibility to make you memorize it. It will be our responsibility to make you recite it. Summa inna alayna bayana. And thereafter, it will be our responsibility to make you explain the words of the Quran. So we will reveal to you the words of the Quran, and we will reveal to you also the tafsir of the Quran. We will make you explain the words of the Quran. وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ لِتُبَيَّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ. This is also your responsibility. Your responsibility is not only to convey the words of the Quran and leave its interpretation to the Ummah. No. You have two responsibilities: to convey the words of the Quran and also the interpretation of the Quran. The words which we will reveal to you and the interpretation which we will reveal to you. وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ. We have revealed this dhikr, this reminder, this Quran to you. Why? لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ. So that you clearly explain to people مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ, that which is revealed to them. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon receiving the revelation, would automatically memorize it. But he was being inspired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The sahaba ikram rizwanullahi ta'ala ali majmain were also inspired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do certain things, as a result of which, until the day of Qiyamah, nobody would be able to point his finger towards the authenticity of the Quran. One thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did was, he gave many sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in the zeal to memorize the Quran. The Quran began with اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من ألق. And the last verse of the Quran is وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ ثُمَّ تُوَفَّى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَّا كَسَبَتْ وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ. This is the order of revelation, not the order of the Quran. The order of the Quran that we have today, the Quran begins with Suratul Fatiha and it ends with Suratul Nas. It is the unanimous opinion of the ulama that Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam would arrive with a verse, part of a verse or verses or a surah from the Quran pertinent to the time. So the very first five verses revealed to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they belong to the 30th juz of the Quran. But they were revealed right at the beginning because they were pertinent at the time. But it is the unanimous opinion of the ulama that whenever Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam would come with revelation, he would direct Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam that the Quran begins with Suratul Fatiha, it will end with Suratul Nas, and these verses will go here. These verses will go here. These verses will go here. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would make his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam memorize the Quran according to the tartib and the order of the Quran that is amongst us today. All miracles. Allah did all this to safeguard the Quran. In 23 years, the whole Quran was revealed. In 23 years, the whole Quran was revealed. And after the five verses, after the revelation of the five verses, for 3 years there was no revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So basically, the whole Quran minus five verses were revealed in 20 years only. And when the initial verses of the Quran were being revealed, there were a handful of Muslims. Thousands of Muslims entered the fold of Islam after the liberation of Makkah Mukarrama, 2 years before the departure of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them the zeal to memorize the Quran, number one, and number two, the ability to memorize the Quran. And when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam departed from this world, 2 years after the liberation of Makkah Mukarrama, how many huffaz did he leave behind amongst the Sahaba? 10,000. 10,000. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam would memorize the Quran automatically. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in order to preserve this Quran in such a way that nobody could point his, her finger towards the authenticity of the Quran, he created other means also. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, despite being amongst them, and despite being hafiz of the Quran, and despite so many other sahaba rizwanullahi ta'ala ali majmain, with photographic memory, not powerful memory, photographic memory, word to word. Either it was during the time of Abdul Malik ibn Marwan or Marwan ibn Hakam. Probably Marwan ibn Hakam. Marwan ibn Hakam, he was the caliph of his time. He and his associates decided to test the memory of Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So Marwan appointed a few scribes who were sitting behind the veils, where Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu could not see. And Marwan said to Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu that it is our desire that you read to us 100 ahadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Now Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was a hafiz of hadith. But he did not have a compilation. For example, myself or any other student of deen, he would have memorized 100 ahadith, 200 ahadith, 1,000 ahadith. But it's not in a compilation form. Memorize the hadith today, memorize the hadith tomorrow, memorize the hadith a month ago. So if you ask him that, can you recite 100 ahadith to me, he will recite 100 ahadith that will come to his mind there and then. And he may even fail. He may know the ahadith, but he may say that it's not coming to my mind. After reaching 15, 20, he may say it's not coming to my mind. So Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu did not have a compilation like Bukhari Sharif or Muslim Sharif. But he knew thousands of ahadith. So can you read 100 ahadith for us? So Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, without knowing what is happening, he began. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this, 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 and the scribes are writing down every hadith that he is mentioning. Whatever came to his mind, he mentioned. After one whole year, again the scribes were made to sit behind the veils with their notes. And Marwan said to Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu that it is my desire that you repeat the same 100 ahadith that you mentioned to us last year, because they were very beneficial. Now, the first thing is that Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu did not have any particular order of reciting the ahadith. And he did not know that when reciting the ahadith the first time that I will have to repeat these ahadith, I will be asked to repeat these ahadith. So he could have simply said that you did not tell me at the time, so I cannot remember what I mentioned to you. But no, he began. He said, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, and he recited the same 100 ahadith with the same order. Photographic memory. So during the time of the Sahaba Rizwanullahi Ta'ala Alayhi Majmain, in order to preserve the Quran and in order to preserve the ahadith, there was no need to write Quran or hadith. There was no need. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew through the ilm that he has that a time will come when people will point fingers. That how can we rely on something that was passed down through generations only on the basis of memory? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired the Sahaba to write down the ahadith as well, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to dictate what was revealed to him whenever it was revealed. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after receiving the revelation, would call a scribe or a few scribes, and he would dictate what was revealed to him, and thereafter he would ask the scribe to repeat what was dictated to him. And thereafter the Sahaba Rizwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majmain would memorize. And those same revelations were being recited in the Salat. And the Sahaba Rizwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majmain, who had it written, who had it memorized, would hear Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recite. Word by word correctly. From amongst these scribes hold a very, very high and eminent position amongst the Sahaba Rizwanullahi ta'ala. From amongst these scribes was Sayyiduna Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu, Sayyiduna Umar radiyallahu anhu, Sayyiduna Usman radiyallahu anhu, Sayyiduna Ali radiyallahu anhu. All four caliphs. And from amongst the others, Zayd ibn Thabit radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Muawiyah radiyallahu anhu. Muawiyah radiyallahu anhu, a very great companion of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And one can imagine that for such a task, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would choose only those people who were the most trustworthy in his eyes. Amir Muawiyah radiyallahu anhu was from amongst the scribes. Umar radiyallahu anhu was also from amongst the scribes. So one day, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam called Umar radiyallahu anhu. And he said, write. Umar radiyallahu anhu was the only one available. So he said, write. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ سُلَالَةٍ مِنْ طِينٍ ثم جعلناه نطفة في قرار مكين ثم خلقنا النطفة علقة فخلقنا العلقة مضغة فخلقنا المضغة عظاما فكسونا العظام لحما ثم أنشأناه خلقا آخر فتبارك الله أحسن الخالقين. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is dictating to Umar radiyallahu anhu, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ سُلَالَةٍ مِنْ تِينٍ. And Hazrat Umar radiyallahu anhu is writing. ثُمَّ جَعَلْنَاهُ نُطْفَةً فِي قَرَارٍ مَكِينٍ ثُمَّ خَلَقْنَا النُّطْفَةَ عَلَقَةً فَخَلَقْنَا الْعَلَقَةَ مُدْغَةً فَخَلَقْنَا الْمُدْغَةَ عِظَامًا فَكَسَوْنَا الْعِظَامَ لَحْمًا. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates the human being. the stage is that the embryo passes through in the womb of the mother. A very unique feature which 1400 years ago nobody knew. By studying such verses, many people have accepted Islam. That how did Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam knew these facts? If Muhammad himself had written this book, how did he know these facts which the science discovered only 100 years ago? What is happening in the womb of the mother? Nobody knew until science discovered 100 years ago, less than 100 years, just a little bit more than 100 years. A very, very unique feature, a very, very unique phenomena taking place in the womb of the mother. It begins with a sperm, with a drop of dirty water, and it ends with a beautiful baby. Summa anshaynahu khalqan akhar. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reached here, summa anshaynahu khalqan akhar, and Umar radiyallahu anhu was writing, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, summa anshaynahu khalqan akhar, Umar radiyallahu anhu looked towards Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, fatabarakallahu ahsanul khaliqin. How great is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the best of the creators. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that is the wahy. That is the next part of the wahy. Fatabarakallahu ahsanul khaliqin. Inna Allah ja'ala al-haqqa ala lisani Umar wa qalbihi. This was the condition of Umar radiyallahu anhu. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, kana feeman kana qablakum muhaddasoon. Among the people before you, there were people who would be inspired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, either direct or through angels. Wa in yakwa ahadun fi ummati fa Umar. If there is one of those people who is inspired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly in my ummah, then it is Umar. So the statements of Umar radiyallahu anhu are very important for us. In fact, the statements of the pious of the ummah are very important for us. The awliya of the ummah, the scholars of the ummah, the likes of Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi alayhi, Shaykh Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullahi alayhi, the likes of Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi. So if the statements of the pious scholars and the pious awliya are treasured by the ummah, then imagine the status of the statements of the sahaba rizwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majmain. And then from amongst the sahaba rizwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majmain, the khulafai rashidin, the rightly guided caliphs. So the first statement of Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, from amongst the three advices that he has given, the first one is, اعتزل ما يؤذيك. Stay away from anything and everything that harms you. Do not say that word which harms you. And do not listen to the statement of that person that will harm you. You know that somebody dislikes you, and he is always making remarks when he sees you that he should not be making as a good Muslim, as a good human. But despite that, you know that he is going to hurt you. So stay away from listening to the statements of such people. Stay away from those statements which may hurt you. Do not say those things which will hurt you. Sometimes we become angry, and in anger we say certain things to our dear and near ones, our wives, our husbands, our parents, our in-laws, our brothers, our sisters. And then The very statement haunts us. Why did I say this to this person? Why did I, so dear, I must have broken his heart, I must have broken her heart. Ehtazil ma yu'dhik. Stay away from that which harms you, which hurts you. Do not listen to those people who may hurt you. Ehtazil ma yu'dhik. Do not do anything that may hurt you. Do not do anything yourself that may hurt you. Some people harm themselves. Some people become depressed. In anxiety, they harm themselves. They take overdoses. They cut their bodies. They harm themselves. And some people harm themselves by doing those things or saying those things which Allah dislikes, and as a result, they will have to face the pain in the hereafter. Stay away from those people who may harm you in this world or in the hereafter. You are studying in a college, in a university, and you get stuck up in friendship, in a friend circle. And Allah has given everybody the faculty of intellect. You can understand that they are harmful for your studies. Stay away from them. Haram food, stay away from it. It will harm you. Harm you in this world. It will deprive you from the tawfiq of carrying out good deeds. And it will harm you in the hereafter also. Your prayers will not be accepted. Stay away from those foods which are not healthy. Follow the instructions of your doctors. Stay away from laziness, because it will harm you. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to seek refuge. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-kasal. O Allah, I seek your refuge from laziness. So stay away from everything that is harmful to you. Harmful to you in this world, harmful to you in the hereafter. And if Umar radiyallahu anhu is telling us to stay away from everything that is harmful, that means harmful thing, harmful word, harmful action is not something that is liked. So do not become harmful to others also. Because if you become harmful to others, that will harm them in this world and harm you in the hereafter. It is a very, very comprehensive sentence spoken by Umar radiallahu anhu. Etazil ma yudhik. Anything that harms you, stay away from it. And the second advice is wa alayka bil khalil salih, and hold fast to a pious friend. Wa qalla ma tajiduhu. And seldom you will find one. It will be very difficult to find a good friend. But look for that good friend and befriend him and keep him your friend and become his friend. Inshallah, we will try to discuss this second advice in the gathering next week. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to understand these beautiful messages and what they contain, and most importantly, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to note them in our minds and to adorn our lives with these points, and also to pass on these points to our families, our dear ones, near ones, and as far and wide as possible. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in.